Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. So why might your gut and your digestion be so messed up? Why? What could be contributing? Like, why could you have suddenly gotten food intolerances or suddenly been more bloated or have IBS or have weird poos and toilet drama and reflux and indigestion or low energy, crazy hormones? Like, what could be going on? What could some of those contributing factors? That's what I'm talking about today. I'm going to be sharing with you five of the most common things I see in my practice with clients when I'm working with them and we are looking at, okay, what has influenced your gut microbiome? What has influenced your immune system? And what could have been a contributing factor to your current set of symptoms, to you feeling like you're tired, bloated, fed up, anxious, whatever it is? What are some of those key things? And I'm going to share those with you today. I'm going to pretend that you're sitting here with me. We're having a consultation and I'm going to share with you some of the things kind of behind the scenes of what I really look out for when clients are answering my nosy questions. What am I looking out for in terms of big contributing factors to gut imbalances, to disrupting the microbiome? And the reason for that is because when you know why, some of the whys and contributing factors to maybe some imbalance within your gut, then you can take really targeted action and make amazing progress. So I work with clients over 3 to 4 months and they can go from bloated, tired, unable to lose weight, lots of toilet drama, going to the toilet once a week, those kind of things, to daily bowel movements, better energy, feeling good, less anxious, more rested. Within a short space of time, because we look at the why and the fact that your gut microbiome is influenceable. It's not set. No matter how terrible your digestion might feel and how much it's had thrown at it through your history and health and medications and those kind of things, it's a living thing that can be influenced. You can impact it, you can shift it, you can shape it. And we know that through research, through various dietary things and tons of different stuff that I talk about here on the show. So that's what we're looking at today, which is very exciting. But otherwise, how are you doing? How's everyone doing? I really wish I could get an answer. I want to ask that question here. It would be so good if you could just all be like, yeah, Kezia, this and this. Here in the UK or in Scotland, we're still kind of on lockdown. We can go out more. Oh, and actually, no, the good thing is we've been able to gather outside. So I had my sister sister-in-law and brother over yesterday for a spontaneous barbecue because the sun was out and all the kids were like running around naked in a paddling pool. That was very fun. So life here has been good. I've been realizing I've been tired, I was sharing actually about my Facebook group this week because I got to that ovulation time in my period and was like, I normally get all the energy then, and got to ovulation and was like, I'm bloody knackered. Realize I've not been on holiday for ages. So I am looking at, okay, I can't go away on holiday. Because for me, I really rest when I go away. I think working from home, and I've worked from home for years, leaving the house is really restful for me. Whereas often if I try and have a staycation, it's tricky. But obviously we're on lockdown here, so no one's really going anywhere. So I am going to be learning in the coming weeks and months how to really rest at home and have a bit of a holiday at home. And I'm starting doing that I've just started the Outlander book series. I know it's a TV series, but someone told me the books are better. So I've just started book one of that. And there's like, I don't know, a lot in the series. So I'm hoping that should tide me through a good couple of months of just zoning out. So that's life here. Otherwise, it's been good. I've wrapped up a couple of programs with clients, which was really fun. So last week, with a client who was coming to me really constipated, really fed up, and we were just reviewing the progress she'd made, was now going to the toilet every day, no more bloating, no pain in her stomach, feeling good, better energy, feeling more rested. It was just awesome. I was just like, I love my job. And she obviously did all the work. My job was actually to do what we're going to be talking about today, was to figure out some of the roots of it, make a bit of a personalized program and get her moving forward. So that's been really fun. I've just been doing, I started a Happy Hormones series in my free Facebook group. So do make sure you join that. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Also, if you do not get regular emails from me, make sure that you do. You can do that by heading over to keziahall.com, clicking on the quiz, doing the quiz, signing up somewhere on my website to get, you can scroll down to the very bottom of the page, like the footer of the website, and just input your details there. Make sure you get my emails because I've got something really exciting coming to the end of June and July. For those of you that are really ready to beat the blow, get your energy back, support your hormones, but maybe aren't ready to work with me one-on-one, and you're not quite ready for that, then I've got an alternative coming up that will be a much lower investment, really effective, tried and true method, and it's going to be really awesome. And I've got some fab bonuses coming for that. So do make sure you get my emails if you don't already, because I'm going to be announcing that to my list first, and there's going to be some awesome bonuses and early bird things for that. So I'll just leave you hanging with that exciting bit of information. Otherwise, thank you for the reviews. Thank you for being here. I really love doing this podcast and I'm so glad that it helps you. I also love to get feedback. I'm like a words of affirmation person. And so if you like this podcast, please take a screenshot of it, put it on Instagram, tag me in it, put it on Facebook. The more people that hear about this podcast and listen to it, the more people are going to change and heal their own lives and bodies and get their energy back. And that's my goal. That's why I do this podcast. So I'd love you to share it whenever you listen to a podcast that you enjoy, share it, guys. Oh dear. Okay. Enjoy this podcast and I'll see you soon. In this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about why might your gut be so messed up? Like, why is your digestion a bit off? Why do you feel a bit rubbish? Why might you be feeling just a little bit crap, to be honest? The bloating, funny bowels, funny constipation, diarrhea, indigestion, maybe funny skin. What could be going on? So today I'm going to be sharing with you a couple of things that imagine you were sitting here in my office, not that any clients ever do that because my practice is all online. It's a virtual practice that I do, so it means I can see clients from all over the world. Hooray. I was already set up for the lockdown. but say you were sitting here, what I do with each client, I use something called the functional medicine matrix. And part of the process of working together is to figure out what are some of the root causes, triggering events, what are some of the things that have maybe contributed and maybe still are contributing to your current set of symptoms. So today I'm going to be focusing on some of those kind of contributing factors, triggering factors, root causes, specifically for digestive issues. But these will also play a role in hormones, skin, energy, and probably mental health as well. But that's the focus of today, is looking at why might your gut be so messed up, to put it in non-medical language. So that is what we are going to look at, because the list I'm going to share with you is five different things. It's by no means extensive and exhaustive. There is lots of other reasons out there, but these are probably some of the five things that come up most often with the people I work with. And I was actually creating a program. So when you come and work with me, we have the first session, like the pre-program work is all data collecting, where I ask you tons of questions. We look at your food diary, test results. We run lab tests. We do all this preparation work where I gather information. And then I go away and create a personalized program based on all that stuff. And I look at all these factors. So I was I do this quite often with all new clients. And these are some of the things that came up. And even last week, I think I had a client where nearly 4 out of 5 of these were factors in terms of her current health symptoms. So let's dive in. Number one, if you have an upset digestion in any shape or form, one contributing factor can be medications. So let's just dive into the big, juicy, potentially controversial thing. So before I dive into medications, I want to be clear. I'm not saying here that all medications are bad. I know that people that tend to be in my world like a more holistic approach or a whole person approach or into maybe other complementary therapies, which I am and I love. But there is a real role for medications as well. So me going into detail about the certain side effects and consequences of medications should not be confused with me judging you for taking medications. Those are actually really different things. It's really clear with lots of medications just through data and research. And if you read just the side effects of the little leaflet you get with your medications, that there is side effects and consequences of taking certain medications long term. That's just the facts. It's just the way it is. We often don't get talked to about those facts or communicated that much about those facts, but that is the reality. That's just factual information. So that is what I'm sharing with you here. I don't want you to hear judgment. Maybe you've been on medications for years and years, and you might really need to because it really improves your quality of life. So I just want to make that clear. Okay. Right. Medication. So what? There's lots of medications out there. I'm obviously not a pharmacist, so I don't deal with pharmaceuticals in my practice. I do nutraceuticals, so supplements. That's what I know about. So I don't advise clients on medications. I don't give direction on medications. That's something a client needs to deal with their doctor or with their pharmacist. But I do take into consideration any medications that they are taking and what are some of the known side effects and impacts that that can have on the body. That's part of my job at looking at the whole picture. So when you come to me, let's think, a client I was meeting with last week, she had been on a couple of medications historically long term and had a couple of and had a lot of exposure to things like antibiotics. So that was all stuff that was contributing to her current set of symptoms. But I tend to look at different side effects, how long you've been on it, what type of medication, those kinds of things. So medications are a big one. And within the medication bucket, there's a couple that I see regularly popping up with clients that I just know, okay, this will be a contributing factor to how optimally your gut health is working and could be a big factor in terms of your overall health. So what are those medications? Number one, antibiotics. No surprise there. If you have had recent use of antibiotics or historic use of antibiotics, then that it all really has a big impact in your gut microbiome, in your digestion. And it's so clear in research that that can lead to negative effects. Now, antibiotics can be really, really helpful. If I was going to die of a bacterial infection, you bet your bottom dollar, I want those antibiotics getting into my system. But having been a child of the 90s, and those of you listening, if you're a child of the 80s, you were probably pumped with a lot more antibiotics than what most doctors would prescribe now. Antibiotics are not something that you want to be using consistently, and it can be any exposure to antibiotics can be problematic. So for example, I've had clients that, like me, were on basically antibiotics all the time as a child for years and years and years. So their microbiome, how their gut microbiome has developed over the years, and especially in childhood and teenage years and early adulthood, has been really affected by this regular, meaning 3 or 4 times a year, dose of antibiotics, meaning medication that will kill all the bacteria in your gut and make space for opportunistic and pathogenic bacteria to overgrow. That can be really problematic. But you might be in someone that's like, Kezia, didn't have any antibiotics as a child, didn't have sugar, you know, we just super healthy family, but maybe you got really sick and you had to take a dose of antibiotics. And since then, your stomach has never been the same. So both prolonged and extended exposure to antibiotics, but also single doses enough. I've seen this a lot with clients as well. Not a lot of exposure to antibiotics at all, healthy childhood, all those things, but they have a single dose of antibiotics, really strong ones, and they've never been the same since because of the impact it can have in the body. And we know about post-antibiotic diarrhea and all of these kinds of different things. So antibiotics is a big one. Also, some people, depending on certain health issues, maybe you have interstitial cystitis or rosacea, sometimes the treatment options, as far as I'm aware, again, I'm not a pharmacist or a doctor, is long-term use of antibiotics. So I had a client last year that was being put on antibiotics for a year to help with some interstitial, really struggled to say that. Cystitis, which is something I see with my clients a lot, actually, often a lot of blood issues and things and infections going on. And so she was going to be on it for a year. And after a couple of months, she, her bloating and everything was struggling so much more because of this constant exposure to antibiotics. I know people have had it for rosacea for a long period of time and have for several years, in fact, and then developed different food intolerances from having that prolonged exposure. Now, that is a study of N1. You know, that's not necessarily what the research says, but that's kind of more my anecdotal experience and what I see with clients in my practice as well. So antibiotics is a big one when it comes to medication. So other medications that if we were sitting down together and you were like, oh, Kezia, I've been on this and this, and that I see come up quite a lot with clients in terms of causing issues if on long term. The second one would be the contraceptive pill, or could also be the implant or any kind of hormonal based contraceptive. So it's really common for women that I work with to maybe have been on the pill for 10, 15 years before coming off it and maybe trying for a baby or just deciding to come off the pill. And we know from research that the contraceptive pill can really be a disruptive force on your gut microbiome and can increase your risk of gastrointestinal issues going on. Also, it brings various depletions in the body just in terms of how a lot of medications work, how they work within the body can sometimes interrupt certain, let's just say, nutrient pathway. So lots of medications, when I'm working with a client, I'll always review every single medication because a lot of medications will often leave you depleted in certain nutrients. So the pill will leave you depleted in certain B vitamins, magnesium, zinc. If you take statins regularly, you'll be really low in CoQ10. If you take, my mind's gone blank, certain antidepressants, then there's certain nutrients that will make you low in that, just in terms of the way that medications work. And so the contraceptive pill or hormonal contraceptives and implant or even injection, those the depot injection, those kinds of things, can have a negative impact on your microbiome. And so with this client, actually, I was going through last week, when I was going through her health history, she'd had a history of lots of antibiotics as a child, and then had been on the pill for a really long period of time, like 12, 15 years, those kinds of times. And so those two together, regular exposure to antibiotics and consistently being on the contraceptive pill, I was like, oh, there we go. That makes sense for why someone's gut microbiome would be out of balance. Other medications that can be disruptive to the gut can be things like PPI, so things like omeprazole, lansoprol, these protein pump inhibitors. Sometimes people can be on them for a really long time. And from as far as I'm aware, I don't know about every single type of PPI, but things like omeprazole, you're not actually meant to be on long term, I don't think. Again, talk to your doctor and pharmacist about this because of the side effects that we know it has around B12 absorption and those kinds of things. So that can also, that's another one I see come up a lot with clients. Also sometimes antidepressants, certain antidepressants. Some clients actually, they find their gastrointestinal symptoms improve when they go on SSRIs, so selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. I think I said that right. Anyway, certain types of antidepressants can really help with certain gastrointestinal issues, which is great. And for other clients, that can sometimes be a bit of a trigger. It really is dependent. So that's not always a consistent one, just in some people. And then there's loads of other medications as well. Long-term use of steroids in any shape or form can be disruptive of the gut as well as certain nutrients and various other popular things. Even regularly taking things like ibuprofen. Maybe you just get headaches and you take ibuprofen maybe a couple of times a week. That's something, just regular use of that, regular use of paracetamol. I don't actually think there's any research around paracetamol and the gut, so maybe I'll retract that. But ibuprofen in terms of stomach ulcers and how it can affect your stomach, often if you are prescribed long-term use of ibuprofen, you're also often prescribed a PPI because of how it can impact your stomach especially. So certain medications. Now, I've just mentioned three or four. There's lots of medications out there. So that can play a role in terms of just certain side effects in the gut microbiome. Remember, that's just what I've been discussing here is just some of the known side effects of medication. Not to say that you shouldn't be taking them. Medications can be a total lifesaver in terms of quality of life, helping the body, those kinds of things. But it is just worth knowing any medication that you choose to take that you just know the consequence of it. I'm not anti-medications at all. I just think people should go into them with their eyes wide open basically. Okay, so that's medications in terms of that can mess up your gut. What else? Okay, the next thing would be a history, or this could be currently and presently as well, but a history of a high sugar, high carb diet. Now, obviously, I would have no idea what that might look like. I have never had a high sugar, high carb diet, living off of Diet Coke and Iron Brew and drive-through McDonald's. No experience of that myself, obviously, but I hear from other people that that can happen sometimes. I totally joke. I put my hands up to this. I totally have had, I tick all of these boxes. I've had lots of medications. I have had a high carb, high sugar diet. Also, I'd add high alcohol into this as well, just because it's a sugar, you know, alcohol is a type of sugar and also can bring a lot of burden onto the liver. And in the UK especially, we have quite a binge drinking culture that thankfully that was one thing I never really got sucked into. I never actually liked alcohol as a young adult and didn't like the idea of being drunk. So praise the Lord, I never got really sucked into that. But give me the sugar and the carbs, amen. So history of high carbohydrate, high sugar, high alcohol, high processed food diet. Why is that a problem for your gut microbiome? You know, why is it a problem? So I grew up lots of sugar, you know, a snack for me, I often joke in workshops, would be two wagon wheels, which are these types of, I don't even know if they exist anymore, but these types of, they're not really biscuits, but they'd be these big round biscuits, have marshmallow in the middle and coated in chocolate. I'd have two of them squished together and put them in the microwave so that the marshmallow would like explode. That was like a snack to me. I had a lot of Diet Coke, Iron Brew, which is a fizzy drink here in Scotland. Just a lot of sugar. Me and my friends on a Friday would finish Friday, go to someone's house and make an enormous like baking mixing bowl and just fill it with like custard cream, bourbons, chocolate sauce, sprinkles, ice, like anything that we could find in whoever's house we were at, kitchen. So high sugar, high carb diet, why is that a problem? Well, what that does is constantly having such high amounts of sugar, essentially high amounts of glucose in your system, you can feed some of this bad and more pathogenic bacteria. So if you're constantly giving your body this constant supply of sugar to feed some of the bad and more pathogenic or opportunistic bacteria and yeasts, then that can cause them to grow and multiply and bring an imbalance in your body. The good bacteria in your gut actually needs, like uses things called prebiotics to grow, establish, and to live. So if your diet is really low in prebiotics, which are things like vegetables, healthy fibers, unprocessed foods, and really high in sugars, really easy to access, kind of quick processed sugars, you're going to be spending years and years feeding the wrong type of bacteria and yeasts instead of feeding them with prebiotics to help the good guys establish themselves so that, and I see this a lot when I run stool tests, when people's butyrate levels or small chain fatty acids are low in stool samples, that means the good bacteria, there's not enough good bacteria producing these good things. And often there's excess bad bacteria that's been fed by sugar for years and years and years. So that's another thing. History or presently, just eating a lot of sugar, a lot of carbs. And you might be, what do you mean carbs in this? So all carbohydrates aren't a bad and evil food, but if all your snacks are sugary based, fizzy juice, chocolate, crisps, I mean, crisps aren't sugary, but they are not an awesome food for your cells. Milkshakes, fruit, even dates, naked bars, all just sweet things. And then your meals are also primarily carbs, even if it's healthy carbs like brown rice and oats and sourdough bread. But if primarily like 70% of your diet is mainly carbs, even if it's healthy carbs like dates and these kinds of things, you could be feeding the wrong type of bacteria because your macronutrient ratio, meaning macronutrients is fats, proteins, and carbohydrates, is maybe not optimal. So that is the second thing. Okay, the third thing that I see often with clients is some sort of sickness, like a one-off sickness that has really contributed to their gut being messed up. And often this looks like, well, I went over to Cambodia and I got really sick when I was there and I've not been the same since. Or I went out for dinner, got food poisoning, 8 years ago and not quite been the same since. Or I had, you know, you might have had, well, I had the flu at the start of this year, or you might have had coronavirus and my stomach has just not been the same since. Any set of sickness can be a trigger for that gut microbiome imbalance, partly because the certain medications you might have to treat that sickness can impact your microbiome, but also just because that kind of, especially with more food poisoning and those kinds of things, can change and have an impact on your gut microbiome itself. Also with things like long-term chemotherapy or other kind of treatments, the medications and the length of kind of treatment protocol can really have a big impact. So this year I've worked a lot with some women who last year were going through breast cancer treatment, and then this year decided they wanted to work with me so that we could really help, you know, reestablish a healthy gut microbiome, help their bodies detox, and really build in resiliency after having that treatment period. And I've worked a lot with clients that have had breast cancer in their history, and it can really impact your microbiome. But the great thing is there's lots that you can do about it. But that can be a trigger. So any kind of form of sickness, it can be big, it can be small, it can be long-term, short-term. But though that can be enough, like you just having the flu or having bad food poisoning one time can actually be enough to upset your system for a long term. And I see that sometimes with clients. They're like, was totally fine, went on my honeymoon, got food poisoning, gut's not been the same since. And it's like, what? They're like, what happened? So that is number three. Okay, number four is being exposed and feeling a constant level of stress in some form. Now, before you switch off, because I've used the word stress, I want to just reiterate again, as I do in this podcast, what I mean by the word stress. So stress, when I use it, I mean that in a full, holistic sense of the word. So it doesn't necessarily mean that emotionally you're going to be completely stressed and kind of like on the floor crying. But if you've had exposure to stressful times in your life, that might be having a newborn baby, moving house, having a divorce, grief in any shape or form, being bullied at work, struggling with your career, financial stress, anything like that, any kind of big stressful event is not just an experience you have in your head and your emotions. That stress impacts your cells and it impacts your gut microbiome and your digestion and can be enough of a trigger to change how things work. So different stressful situations, and again, I've seen this a lot with clients where they're like, oh, I went through a divorce and it was, you know, really the right thing to do, but it was just so stressful. I wasn't sleeping that much, and that was when I started to get IBS symptoms, for example. So that can play a huge role. Also past traumas as well. If maybe you had some traumatic stuff happen in your childhood or 10 years ago that you've never really dealt with, that can impact your gut, because what those experiences will do is they'll kind of keep your nervous system. Now this is really basic and a really quick summary of it. They'll kind of keep your nervous system in fight and flight mode, where you're like ready to fight, ready to protect yourself. And that often means that the brain is not going to send messages to your stomach for optimal digestion. And that can lead, especially if you're in that state for a long time, for many, many years, of your body being in this kind of go, 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 fight, flight, protect, be productive, brain can't switch off mode. That means your nervous system is really, and your brain isn't signaling for optimal digestion, because digestion tends to happen when you feel safe and that you can pause and rest. That's when your digestive system is most optimal and you have all those digestive secretions. If you've been in that state of poor digestion, of a kind of stressed out nervous system for many, many years, that can, you can see how that can compound when it comes to your digestive issues. So that's a really important thing. And I know it's something we like to ignore because it just feels so intangible and don't tell me I'm stressed, I'm not stressed, but there can be so many things that get summed up in that word, if that makes sense. But I see that all the time with clients. When there's any kind of ongoing digestive issues, there is, I will bet money on the fact that's been some sort of stressful event, either recently or many years ago, that, and that their brain and their nervous system is still kind of stuck there. And that's one of the contributing factors to their digestive issues now. Okay, so that is reason number four. And number five, in terms of why might your gut and your gut health and your digestion be so messed up, number five is environmental factors. So these can be things like mold. Maybe you had, you might be in a lovely new build house even, but you maybe had a water leak or a roof leak. I think I might be dealing with some mold exposure now because my hay fever's not been great and we had a roof leak. And I think we've maybe had a leak in our roof for a while that maybe is leading to some mold. And mold is terrible for your health and your immune system. So you could have been exposed to mold for either now or historically again, and that is doing damage to your body. You maybe grew up near a farm and so had high exposure to maybe certain pesticides or herbicides. You might have got certain heavy metals in excess. I do often run a hair mineral test with clients just as an easy kind of quick way to get a good picture of not only their mineral status, but their heavy metal status. So recently, actually, clients' results have been coming up as high in zirconium and cadmium and all these other things that we need to support their bodies in detoxing. But all of those more environmental factors will all play a role. And you could argue that stress is also can be an environmental factor, a stressful relationship, even things like an untidy house that's stressing your brain out. Obviously moldy house. You might live near, one of those electric generator box things, you have in everywhere, every couple of streets, there'll just be like a random box for all the electric. You might live next to a pylon, so you're getting exposed to high EMFs, which affects your brains and your cell function, those kinds of things. Environmental factors can play a huge role too. So what do you do with all this information? Well, as always, and with every podcast, I want to give you real information. I don't want to fob you off, but I'm also aware that I don't need to leave these podcasts being like, oh my gosh, what do? That's so overwhelming. So I've shared with you five different things, and I just want you to take a minute when you're driving, when you're chopping veg, when you're sitting on the toilet, and just think, okay, Kezia mentioned those five things. Which of those really resonated with me? Which one do I think might be an issue? What could be a real contributing factor for me? And then once you know what it is, you can head to my free Facebook group and let me know. Or if you know you're ready to start working with me one-on-one, head over to keziahall.com or supernaturallyhealthy.org. Both of those URLs take you to the same place. Click the Work With Me page and book in a call to chat with me. And you can say, hey, Kezia, I've had a history of lots of antibiotics, lots of PPI use, lots of antidepressants, and I've been on the pill. I think that's what's going on. And I can go, okay, great. This is how basically we can help support that, change that, optimize that, and really build and change that kind of microbiome so that you can ditch the IBS, feel really good, stop being bloating, have no toilet drama, no pooping drama, nothing, nada. You just get up. Go to the loo. You're not tired. Your hormones aren't crazy. Your skin's not embarrassing you. All of that stuff. So I'd love to work with you. But have a think. Think about what's the one thing. And then either head over to my Facebook group, which you can just search for on Facebook for Kezia Hall in the and filter out for groups. Or go head to Instagram, Supernaturally Healthy. And you can just DM me, leave me a comment and let me know. Because the reason I share this with you is because when you know your why, oh my goodness, that is when you can actually start to see results. Because right now, if you have say you have IBS, and you might just be randomly buying teas and probiotics and random stuff and just trying every random diet that you can, and getting frustrated that you're not making progress. And the reason you won't be making progress is because you're not actually dealing with the root cause of why you have those symptoms to begin with. And the more that you can understand why you might have those symptoms, then you can take much more targeted and tailored action that will give you better results. For example, if you know, I've just had loads of antibiotics, tons of antibiotics in my life recently and historically, and I struggle a lot with thrush, then you maybe know there's certain strains of probiotics that are going to help with that, and that for you, you need to focus on rebuilding a healthy, diverse bacterial landscape within your gut. If you know, I've actually been on a PPI, I've been on omeprazole for years and years and years and years, then you know, oh, okay, that might be to do with B12 and my stomach acid. And I need to really help my body with the chemical aspect of digestion. And that's how you can start to piece that out. And that's kind of what I do when I work with people. But if you are figuring that out for yourself, head over to my Facebook group. That's for free. I hop on their Facebook Live there most weeks, or you can DM me in Instagram and I would love to help. Or of course, book a call with me and we can just get started with working together so that in 12 weeks time, you can feel phenomenal, which you totally can. I have just been working with some clients now, and one client, we just ran another stool test to see what progress she'd made, and her stool test came back. She came to me really bad diarrhea, having had a nervous breakdown, some mental health things, lots of pains, cramps, all sorts of stuff going on her body. Done a lot of work in terms of supporting her nervous system, her digestion, and her stool test was looking great. I even got a second opinion from the lab and the specialist they have there. And she was like, nope, this is looking like a really good stool test. There was a couple of things to work on, but I was like, yes. And that is available. That's the amazing thing about your gut microbiome. It is this living kind of organism and system of bacteria and yeasts. And so you can influence it. And actually you can influence it in quite a short space of time. Isn't that phenomenal? Like just because, yeah, maybe you have had a history of tons of antibiotics, tons of stress, tons of medications, tons of sugar. That's okay. We don't need to judge that. You don't need to feel bad. This isn't about feeling guilty. This is just about knowing your why, because you can shift that and change that. You are a living, breathing being, and we can influence that. That's what I love about the gut microbiome, is that there's never a gut that's too far gone. You can always support it because it's this living, moving, flowing system that with every meal, every snack, every day, we can influence it positively and choose to do things that help to heal and rebuild and restore instead of choosing things that break down and destroy. And that's the power that you have. Isn't that phenomenal? Oh, I'm preaching myself so happy here, guys. Anyway, thank you for joining me here. If you have any questions about this, let me know, or I'd love to know what your main takeaway is from this. Otherwise, head over to keziahall.com. You can click on the podcast section in the menu there and find all the show notes with links to everything that I've mentioned in this podcast. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another episode. Lots of love. And a quick heads up for you. If you've been thinking, oh, Kezi, I'd really love to work with you, then do make sure you head to keziahall.com. Click the Work With Me page and book in your chat with me. It's totally informal chat. It doesn't commit you to anything. It's really not that scary. It's just, to be honest, it's easier to chat in person than to batter backwards and forwards via email. And I, at some point in the summer, I'm going to be increasing my prices. So if you are looking and wanting to get in at my current pricing before it goes up, do book a call with me, okay? Even if you're not quite sure if it suits or if that's what you need, you might need a shorter program, you might need a longer program. That's why we chat, so that we can create something really personal and bespoke for you. We can chat through the finances, chat through what it might look like. So head to keziahall.com or to the show notes, book in your call with me so that you can get in there before the price increases, okay? Sending you lots of love.